The state of Florida provides a significant amount of the funding for the program, and it requires that local school boards impose property taxes. That's called the required local effort. So in order for a school board to get the state share of the money, they have to impose property taxes under the required local effort. So it's very interesting. The state of Florida is not allowed to impose a property tax, but it does so indirectly by forcing the school boards to do so. So from a property owner's perspective, the property owner sees a tax from the local school board, not realizing that, in fact, that tax is determined by the state of Florida's legislature in an indirect and roundabout fashion.
Speaking of school boards, they are handled differently in Florida than most of the U.S. Is that correct?
Yes. Florida has an unusual program. First of all, the funding is equalized at the state level. And secondly, the school boards, their jurisdictional boundaries are the same as counties. So we have 67 counties. We've got 67 large school boards. Most states, the school boards are at the city, town, and even hamlet level, so that rich communities can have higher spending in their schools compared to poor communities. Compare and think in your mind West Palm Beach and Palm Beach, or Winter Park and Eatonville. If we funded at the town level, how different would the funding be? But we fund at the county level. Furthermore, Florida, with this required local effort and the setting of the spending at the state level per student, then equalizes the property taxes it receives across the county. So rich counties like Palm Beach and Orange pay more in property taxes than they receive. Poor counties like Levy and Dixie and other small counties receive more money from the state than they generate. So the funding per student is equilibrated across Dixie County to Miami-Dade County, with some weightings allowed for the differences, obviously, in cost of living and the mix of students. But essentially, Florida equilibrates the spending by the combination of the Florida Educational Finance Program on the one hand, with its required local effort, and large school boards at the county level.
It does seem clear, though, that there are noticeable differences between one school and another. How does this happen in what seems to start out a relatively level playing field?
Yeah, that really comes about because of the way in which people settle, where people want to live. The demographics are not homogeneous. Wealthier people tend to live in towns that have higher home values, and so therefore we get this self sort of segregation of people in different places, and therefore because school district boundaries for the actual attendance districts for the individual schools are very localized so that children don't have to travel too far, the result of the housing settlement pattern, which is not homogeneous, produces non-homogeneous attendance districts, and therefore you get this, you know, sort of differentiation. But it's more because of the housing patterns. It really has nothing to do with the financing at the county level from the school boards. That said, there clearly are differences in the physical facilities as compared to the funding per student. School boards, being political bodies, tend to be influenced by where the votes are. Fundamentally, Nicole, the amount of spending per student is a political decision that the legislature makes, and it is influenced by the economics and demographic factors of the state as a whole, and that then translates into our system, which tries to equalize the spending that's available to at least assure that there is a decent education across all counties, and that's required by Florida's constitution.
Now, Florida also has the highest percentage of people over 65 in the U.S. How does that affect spending for the school boards?
Well, it has a dramatic effect. Florida has positioned itself as a low-cost, high-quality place for retirees and businesses, but it has not positioned itself as a high-quality place for K-12 education. And so the end result, we don't have an income tax. We keep our state taxes low. We keep our state services low. So therefore, we also tend to keep educational funding moderate. Florida's done better over the last few years in moving the level of funding up from a very low level to the sort of, just a little bit below average for the nation. So we've done pretty well given the sort of demographic and economic situation in the state as a whole, Nicole.